WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Oh, yeah, getting ready for the nor'easter to hit in the backyard. Although I think we're going to just get a bunch of rain. Just like we got the other day, a bunch of rain. Rain, rain, rain. At least the folks up in the northern part of the state, they're getting ready for some snow. And aren't you ready for a little snow? Wouldn't you like to have a white Christmas? Not that any snow that's going to fall on December 1st is really going to remain until the 25th, but it's the thought. And my thought to you is welcome to December 1st, Monday, on WBSM. It's a Cyber Monday. Still think Cyber Sunday sounds so much better than Cyber Monday. And if you are an employer, do you want your employees spending Cyber Monday ordering holiday gifts? I think not. But at any rate, we have been calling it Cyber Monday for about a decade, probably a little bit longer. And I don't think because of my recommendation to change it to Cyber Sunday that there's really going to be any kind of change. Brian's Beat, recognized as one of three shows born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. Did you know that today is also National Christmas Lights Day? Probably should be National Christmas Lights Night, because Christmas lights during the daytime just don't look all that great. Walt Disney Day, and it's also World AIDS Day. Now, back when lions used to smoke, President Rutherford B. Hayes had the first telephone installed in the White House. That was in 1878. My guess is Rutherford didn't want that phone. But his wife nagged and nagged and nagged. We need a phone. And so they had one installed. I'm not trying to say she's a nag or was a nag, but she nagged for a phone so she could talk to folks. I wonder if the party line was going on back then. And you know, way back when there was a telephone, you really did have to have operator assistance, even for local calls. I looked that up. 1955. They call her seamstress. Rosa Parks was much more than a seamstress, although her occupation, what she got paid a few dollars for every week, was as a seamstress. She was also a member of the local civil rights group. And on this date in 1955, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus to a white man. She got arrested for violating the racial segregation laws of Montgomery, Alabama. And you know, she whispered in my ear, really, Rosa Parks whispered in my ear, I think it was 1995, when she came to Boston and I had the opportunity to meet her for the very first time, she whispered, "I was just tired and didn't want to get up." Come to find out, she said that to many people, but it was amazing because at that time, I had never heard that part of the story. I get it. Seamstress on your feet, tired, you get on the bus and you just don't want to get up. And look, my guess is, I didn't ask her, but my guess is if it had been a white woman or a black man who wanted that seat, she wasn't budging. Well, She didn't budge. She did get arrested. And after a bus boycott that lasted quite some time, the laws in Alabama changed. 1969. Due to the Vietnam conflict, the first draft lottery was instituted in the United States. Not the first draft. First draft lottery. It seems that many people that were drafted into the military probably should not have been drafted. And the government figured the best way to get around drafting some of the wrong people would be to institute a lottery. That's what the figuring was at that particular time. The Brian Speak quote of the day. The framers of the Constitution were so clear in the Federalist Papers and elsewhere that they felt an independent judiciary was critical to the success of the nation. The framers of the Constitution were so clear in the Federalist Papers and elsewhere that they felt an independent judiciary was critical to the success of the nation. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first female on the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think we really should get a coin or paper money in her name in the very near future. That's my thought. There are quite a few things going on. Trump administration is still trying to figure out who ordered the extra kill, that kill strike on alleged Venezuelan drug smugglers. People floating in the water alive after the original hit. And then word circulated, go get them again. Kill them. And they haven't been able to figure out, was it the Secretary of War? Was it the Vice President? You mean to tell me that neither of those two people would step forward to say it was me? Wonder why. At any rate, what happens in or with the Venezuelans will probably be a topic tomorrow if indeed the United States tries to or does send troops on the ground or try to implement some type of regime change in Venezuela. We'll get into it. Today, I'd like to get into something else. You may recall November of 2024, nearly 60% of us, I include myself in that us, voted no on question two. Or maybe it was yes on question two. We voted to eliminate MCAS as a graduation requirement. Well, today, the Healey administration came out with new graduation frameworks, which is a group that she actually put together by executive order back in January. And what did they do? They came up with new ideas for graduation. Improving mastery, requiring that students complete a rigorous program of study that aligns with the admissions requirements for higher education. What? As I read some of the frameworks, not all of it, it's 108 pages. As I read some of it today, it seemed more like a program set up to say, say to the kids that are in eighth grade right now, getting ready for high school, because your parents voted to get rid of MCAS, this is what we're giving you. We're going to talk to Deb McCarthy. She is the vice president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. They came out, in fact, the MTA, Mass Teachers Association, they're actually a part of this board that basically said yes to the new frameworks. What did the MTA say? We'll find out when we come back talking to Deb.
You never change things by fighting existing reality. To change something, you must build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete.
This is WBSM.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
You ate it, Ralph.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
No, Ralph, I ate it.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Take two Alka-Seltzer.
Low-cost air helps you find the best airfares, foreign and domestic. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
AI is going to be devastating the teaching field. Teachers will fight it because they have powerful unions and they'll fight it. But how you know it's going to happen is the wealthy will make it happen. And then others will start also. They'll start homeschooling with it.
Yes, the teachers union, unions plural, they can be powerful. I'm wondering how powerful they're going to be in this particular case because as you recall, back in 2024, not too long ago, the Massachusetts Teachers Union was a strong opponent for keeping MCAS as a graduation requirement. And because of their help and many others, MCAS as a graduation requirement was defeated here in the Commonwealth. So today, as people are putting up their stockings for Christmas, inside was stuffed this report from the state basically coming up with a new set of frameworks for high school graduation. Talking to us about it today is Deb McCarthy. She is the vice president of the Mass Teachers Association. Find out exactly how they feel about these new requirements and maybe how you feel about it also. Deb McCarthy, good evening. Welcome back.
Good evening. Pleasure to be here.
So, you know, you came on this show talking to us before we got into this whole thing dealing with the election about why MCAS did not need to be a graduation requirement. You remember that?
I do.
And so now here we are, December 1st, and it might not, you know, I might as well call it MCAS 2.0. Or something else, because, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not buying what the state is trying to push onto us here. Your thoughts?
Well, let's be clear that the voters overwhelmingly rejected the tie-in of a diploma to a test score, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it feels that this is an attempt to try to, in my opinion, backdoor another high-stakes test that will be tied to a diploma. It won't be the sole requirement, but it is part of a lengthy package that has been presented to us.
So, are you reading the same thing that I am, that this is, it's more than just a test? It's a test at the end of, let's say, Algebra 1. at the end of geometry, at the end of algebra two. So it's a series of tests, I assume, starting with the freshman year in high school.
Well, I'm not 100% sure about that, Brian.
Okay, go ahead.
At today's conference, right, what was said is that the MCAS would be phased out in grade 10. So the MCAS is still here, and the MCAS are still given. And if what was said today is any indication, the MCAS will be still given grades 3 through 9. The EOCs, and of course, new state created, state graded assessment, I believe, is going to be for grade 10. And yes, I think you are correct in probably three different subjects. So, in addition to, because the other thing that was announced today that will be new is that students need to complete the Mass Core course trajectory. They will need to.
What's that?
So Mass Core is an alignment of units of study. 4 years of ELA, 4 years of math, three years of history, 2 years of a foreign language. So the students have to pass those courses. So that would be one expectation. They will have a new financial literacy component. There will be a capstone project. There will be the completion of what's called a MICAP, which is a career academic plan. There is a requirement.
What is all? I got to stop you because I'm listening to this. What the hell is all of this stuff? You know, a capstone, I get. Or portfolio, I get that, but this financial literacy, what are you guys supposed to? You guys being teachers, now you're going to go back to school to learn how to teach financial literacy? Do we learn? And no disrespect to you or your ilk, but everybody's having financial problems. Are we supposed to learn financial problems from people who are having financial problems? What's going on?
Well, I'm just. Listing off.
I'm not blaming you. I get that.
Yeah. So today's press conference talked about the 21st century portrait of a graduate. And so in addition to this, plus filling out the financial aid form, then students will have to take these end of course assessments in probably three subjects. I'm assuming math, ELA, and science, and they have to, like, pass them as part of this new rubric of expectations to get a diploma. So, you know, it is true that when somebody says, you know, you don't just pass this test and then meet the metric of a diploma. So it's not a barrier, but it's in connection with all of the other components to a portrait of a graduate. And frankly, there is the Mass Core alone demonstrates the mastery of the class. And so the vote is really clear. We don't need another state mandated test.
I would agree with you. Deb McCarthy is our guest, Vice President of the Mass Teachers Association. It seems like they're adding, compounding maybe is a better term to use, from whatever MCAS was. These tests that are supposed to be end of course, well, if I take Algebra 1 and I'm automatically getting a test in order to pass the class and then go on to geometry. And so why do I need the state to know that whatever school system has figured that I was proficient enough to go on to the next step of geometry and then algebra two? Am I making sense?
Well, I think so. I mean, a state-generated and state-scored exam is what the voters rejected, right? When we create a state-scored exam, we know that it narrows the curriculum, that it forces educators to teach to this test, and the emphasis becomes on test-taking skills rather than promoting deeper learning. And so I would agree that we don't need another state-administered test at the expense of a more authentic form of assessing student work. You know, I think that the capstones and the portfolios can do it. And I think that having the mass core units of study allow for formative assessments along the way. I would trust the educators. I would trust the local districts. And we don't believe that, and of course, assessments are what the voters voted on with question two a year ago.
No, I would agree. Deb, do you want to take a call?
Sure.
508-996-0500. Thank you. Good evening. You're on with our guest, Deb McCarthy.
Good evening, Brian, and good evening, Deb McCarthy. You mentioned, one, that the voters overwhelmingly, or at least convincingly, rejected the tests. So that means if that's the standard, then we can always come back again next election and mandate a test if that's what's good for the students. But my question is this. I think it's overwhelmingly evident that students that are coming out of high schools today cannot pass standardized entrance-level math in community colleges and our universities. So what they do, they have to do remedial education to cover what's not being accomplished in our high schools. And these are college-bound people. It's pretty widespread. And I'll let you answer. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, no, we hear the same thing when it comes to the writing and the reading, right? That because we are not engaged in deeper learning, and that the expectation has been on a narrow set of metrics aligned with the MCAS test. We saw that for a long time, and we recommend deeper learning, formative assessments, and more whole child portfolio type of assessments.
So just to be clear, the caller was stating, and it's something that we've heard quite often, college professors say that they basically end up teaching some of the high school stuff to their freshmen because they don't know enough in order to move ahead. Are you saying that because of MCAS, that these students weren't able to learn what would then be, I guess, college one math?
Because I am saying that we spend a majority of our in-class time instructing the standards on the test rather than engaging in deeper learning on the standards.
Okay, so therein could be a reason why these kids aren't prepared for college math and college English.
Yep.
Gotcha on that. So what do we do now? Because the voters did their thing. It's like the voters also voted to have the state auditor perform an audit on the legislature, and that's been kicked down the street. So now MCAS, to some of us, it seems like the same thing, kicked down the street. Why bother to go out and vote?
Well, democracy requires that we do go out and vote and that we organize at the grassroots level. And we fight for the schools that all communities deserve. right? The voters, I mean, part of the campaign, the reason it was so successful was because it was a grassroots coalition of educators, former students, parents, and community leaders. And that's why we were able to pass a question. Many of those on the council leading with this new, and of course, assessment, were folks who were against us in question two. So I'm not surprised that those who are leading this new MCAS 3.0 are the folks who were against the question in the first place.
I get that, but on the other side of the fence, we're some of the people that held those signs. We fought vigorously to make sure that that it would be a no. And then it's like another kick in the teeth. And I know you must be feeling it because you were out there on the lines. You were out there answering questions at radio station hosts and stuff like that. And so it's like the balloon has been deflated again. I'm waiting for you on that. Did I lose you, Deb?
I think there's been 8 community forums asking voters what it was that they wanted in a portrait of a graduate. We have an extensive list of folks that we will be reaching out to and engaging in the pushback for another state-created test. And so we will just rely on the grassroots organizing that we did to pass the question to then use our voice and say, you know, the voters are pretty clear. This is a unique time to create a new pathway for a graduate and not replicate a system that wasn't working.
Is there anything that the MTA likes in the new framework besides you're at the table, you're on the committee? What is there for us to say, all right, great job, state?
Well, first of all, I think what's really, really important is that we have got to make sure that this isn't another unfunded mandate. Since the passage of the question, I have been using a lot of my time showing up in local after local after local, trying to support override initiatives, because almost every single community is experiencing a fiscal crisis. Municipalities are unable to meet the demands of all of these unfunded mandates. So we really like the Mass Core as a course trajectory and the same high expectations for our learners, but we want to make sure that it is a funded mandate. We really, really believe that capstone projects represent the deeper learning. And again, they require time and they require funding and they require schools that are well resourced and don't have 33 kids in a third grade classroom. So before spending money to recreate another assessment system that is grounded in for-profit, it's a billion-dollar industry, we would strongly suggest that we fund our schools and that we make sure that the Mass Core is a funded mandate and not an unfunded mandate.
I have one more, and then another caller would like to ask you a question, Deb McCarthy. This whole thing about completing federal or state financial aid forms, isn't that something that you do at home and you don't make it a school project?
There are definitely different opinions on this. I'm not going to disagree with what you're saying. I'm not going to,
Well, I get it. Maybe you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, but it seems like that is going to be a graduation requirement? Really?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've heard both sides of the argument, and I'm going to just let others settle that argument. You know, there are those who are saying that students aren't getting the tuition that they could because they would benefit from more assistance filling out the forms, and that schools are a place to provide that assistance. And then I've heard the other side of the argument that filling out the form is something that should be done in the home.
Sure. Well, and why would I want the school to know my family's finances?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I hear your argument.
And I'm glad you do. Hold on. One more caller for you. Caller, thank you. You're on with Deb McCarthy.
Yeah. Good evening, Brian. Good evening, Deb. You know, by what you're saying, the way I'm looking at this is, I agree with you. It's not about teaching students. It's about the politicians using the public school system as a prop to get them elected. Not to mention, you have these big book publishing companies and software companies that want to try to, and consultant firms to go and talk about how the kids can be better educated. But if you look at a private school, a private preparatory school like a Tabor Academy in Marion, Massachusetts, I mean, they're preparing leaders for tomorrow, for big companies, for big tech, to be in leadership positions in government. And here in the public school, we've done down these kids so much so that they don't even learn. They're just memorizing figures and numbers. They can even write in shorthand or even penmanship. We're just preparing them for failure because of politicians that just want to say, look, we can quantify what the students are doing. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think that these tests create two-tiered systems of privilege. I believe that we have the number one private schools in the country, and those students don't take a high stakes test to get a diploma.
Are you in the Boston area, Deb? Are you in the Boston area?
You mean like
South Shore? South Shore.
I'm a South Shore girl.
Well, I would say take a ride to Tabor Academy, a proprietary. Private prep school. Go there. It's been established in 1867, and go talk to the head of the school.
Yeah.
I think he's Mr. Long, and find out what's working over there.
Yeah. No, I agree that many parents pay a lot of money to send their kids to a private school. Some of them upwards to $80,000 a year in Massachusetts.
Well, if you bring them to Tabor Academy, it's
in the country.
$60,000 a year.
They're not taking these high-stakes tests that now are the curriculum, right? And so
Let her finish, Carl.
I want the same expectations. I have high expectations, and I want the same expectations for our public school that paying $60,000 a year at Tabor Academy can get you.
Yeah, well, it's a bureaucracy. Big publishing companies, software companies.
Yep.
I mean, kids don't even get papers and notebooks. They got laptops, and this is about making big tech companies and publishing companies richer and consultant firms. It's not about educating our kids. It's about politicians, like I was saying, using as a barometer so they can get reelected while our kids are failing and the private preparatory schools are preparing for the leaders of tomorrow in big corporations and in leadership roles in our government.
Thank you for your call. Deb, how would you like to wrap this up?
Thank you.
How would you like to wrap it up, Deb?
Well, I just want to thank you for your time. I'm going to ask your listeners to pay attention to this issue as we organize and defend the resounding ballot question that we won a year ago.
Well, let us know what's going on, because I knew bits and pieces that came out, I think, in the beginning of the fall, in the summer, that this whole graduation framework ideas were coming out, and they, you know, bits and pieces were thrown out there. But, man, they slapped me in the face this morning with this report and, of course, the meeting that took place in Dedham earlier today. So definitely keep us up to date. You know, I guess it's worth one more fight. But you know what? I'm tired of spending my tax dollars fighting for something that the other people are using my tax dollars, and the rest of us that are on the other side, we're not getting paid to do our part of the fight.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Good night.
You too. Good night, Deb. Deb McCarthy, she is the vice president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. Ah, it never stops. You know, whether you're for MCAS or not, the fact of the matter is the voters said no more. And so what this is, it's not even a clever disguise to come back and say, well, we can't do MCAS, so what are we going to do? We're going to change the name, okay, and instead of an encompassing test, we're going to have test at the end of the course. You know, the same test that the student is taking anyway, except now it's going to be administered by the state. And in order for you to graduate out of that class to the next one, you're going to have to pass, which, you know, in theory, sounds good. I get it. But you know what? We pay local teachers, local vice principals, local superintendents, and a whole slew of people that work at the school department buildings to come up with the test that best suits their community. Now the state is going to take, you know, this is going to go back. And I've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We had a guest on, Lars Mapstead, talking about what's going to happen with education. The state keeps going this way. More and more kids will opt out. They may not be able to go to a Tabor Academy, which is 65 or so thousand a year. But you know what? They can certainly homeschool, and they can use a robot for teaching, go out and spend $20,000-$25,000 for a robot one time. And it doesn't just have to teach. You know, change is a brewing. And, you know, the state can keep doing what they're trying to do, but they're going to end up screwing themselves over. 508-996-0500. Listen to this. This is coming from State House News. Some of it will be coming directly from the governor's office because they had a release earlier today. This, no single test will represent a barrier to graduation for any student. And the 10th grade MCAS exam would be phased out as part of this new framework. Well, excuse me. It's already phased out MCAS as a graduation requirement. My guess is fewer and fewer students will be taking that 10th grade MCAS until you finally get rid of it. It has been phased out. You just have it on the books to keep on giving that test, whether or not it's a graduation requirement or not. Governor Healey, I want every parent to know that when your kids go to a Massachusetts school, they are getting the best education that prepares them for success. The previous caller, the guest, and I, we all agree that these kids, when they graduate, they're not prepared for community college. Now, I don't want to put every student in that category, but quite a few are. Quite a few are not, I should say, are not prepared for college math, for college English. It's amazing. Let's see. Governor goes on to say, she wants every parent to know that when your kids go to a Massachusetts school, they are getting the best education that prepares them for success. Whether they choose higher education, a trade, skills-based employment, or the military? Well, are you feeling that when these kids, the majority of these kids, do you think that they are prepared? I think they're prepared for the military. I think some are prepared to go into a trade. I'm not sure what percentage are prepared for Bristol Community College, UMass Dartmouth, Bridgewater State. Kim Driscoll, the lieutenant governor, every student in Massachusetts deserves a roadmap through high school that prepares them for success, no matter who they are or where they come from. This is a nation-leading framework that will strengthen our schools and our communities for generations to come. I don't know, but if I'm a parent of a kid who is in middle school, almost ready to go to high school, I'd be taking that kid and I would be running so fast your hair catches fire. This is really beyond the pale. Part of the framework, strong starts. This is from the governor's office today. Students complete a set of coursework that aligns with admissions requirements for higher education. I put in a little bracket next to that. Well, what do they do now? If they go to a comprehensive school, aren't you preparing them for higher education? Now, my guess is, since we are the number one state for government-operated education, is the governor, is the lieutenant governor, is the secretary of education, is the DESE head, are they going to come out and say, well, they're not prepared? Because if they do, what's that telling me and you? And the $15,000 to $20,000 to $25,000 per year that we spend on education, excuse me, the taxpayer spends on education. To show that students have mastered the course content, students complete a limited number of end-of-course assessments and a capstone or portfolio. Can't school districts choose whether or not they want that for their students? Are you trying to tell me that as ex officio of the New Bedford School Committee, that a person with the brain power of Mayor Mitchell, he can't jog the memory of the other members of the school committee and the superintendent of schools to say, hey, maybe we should incorporate this. This is a good idea. Let's not let the state do it. Because if the state does it, the local community might have control of the capstone and the portfolio, but they sure as heck aren't going to get control of the test. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky and I went to a school that emphasized various tests. So we weren't stuck with the same mundane type of MCAS that's been circulating for the past 20, 25 years, 30 years. Portfolios are a collection of students' best work that demonstrates mastery in one content area or across content areas. I'm going to go into a break, and as I do, I'm going to leave you with this question, this thought. When you were prepared to graduate high school, I'm going to even take it back. I'm going to say your sophomore year, because that's the last year that MCAS would have been your graduation exam. how much did you know at that particular time? Or more to the point, did you know what direction you wanted to go? Did you know that when you graduated high school, you wanted to go to college? Did you know that you wanted to go to college? Did you know exactly what you wanted to study? Because now they're trying to pin this down on kids at such an early age, and kids don't know that stuff at this particular age. But they're pushing and pushing and pushing, and you wonder why these kids burn out?
WBSM.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Peter Paul, I'm a joy's got nuts. Peter Paul, mounts don't.
Because
sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
I can't answer your call right now, but it is important to me.
That won't happen at Low Cost Air. When you dial 800-221-6085, a real person answers and helps you find your best airfares, foreign and domestic. Your choice. Automation.
Please leave a message with your name and number.
Or a real person. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
With inside 10 years, most public education will be non-existent.
Wow. Just looking at the idiot box. $14 billion expected to roll in from Cyber Monday. $11.8 billion from Black Friday. And they say we're broke. Whew. My thanks to Deb McCarthy for joining us.